Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, in that He is able to save sinners from sin and to bring us into a right relationship with Himself. You know, I want to just encourage you along the line today of how that the Lord is able to direct and guide. And since He is able to guide, He gives to us an invitation, and He says, "Come, every soul by sin oppressed." Now, that is not a quote from the Scriptures, but that is what a songwriter has said that the Scriptures do say for us and do mean to us. And the invitation is to come to Jesus. One of the songs is only trust Him now. As the songwriter, "Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy in the Lord. He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word." There are many people today who are in bondage to sin. They are dragged down, and they're in need of deliverance. They know not at what they should do or where they should go for help. But I extend God's invitation to you. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." The Lord tells us to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now, you feel tired in your soul, or you're weary. You're burdened down, you're cast down, you feel so far from the Lord, and you feel hopeless. I want to invite you to come to the Lord. I want to you, wherever you are, to turn to the Lord Jesus. And you perhaps, as a young man did say to me one time, "How do I do that? How do I come to the Lord?" Well, you hear the invitation. Come to Jesus, okay? You've asked the first question. That's a good one. If a friend were to come to your house and knock at your door and you wanted the friend to enter, now I'm saying it's a friend, and you wanted the friend to enter, you would open the door and tell the friend to come right in. Or you saw the friend coming, they knocked at the door and you knew who it was, you would say, "Well, the door is open, come right in." I present Jesus, the friend of sinners. Ask Him to come into your heart and He will come in. He will save you. Come to Jesus as you are. Come as a sinner. Now, when you come to Him as a sinner, you will leave a different way. If you come to Him on your own basis, saying, "Well, Lord, you'll have to take me like I am." Now, that's the wrong attitude. Or, "Lord, this is the way I am. I'm a sinner." Well, He can help you there. He can help you under those conditions. But there are people who come today and they'll say, "I don't intend to change. I'll come like I am, and He'll have to take me the way I am, or else He won't have me." Well, you're the loser with that attitude. But if you come as a poor, lost sinner in need of the salvation that the Lord gives, you can come to Him, and He will save you, and He will surely give you rest. Won't you come to Jesus? You come to Him as a sinner. Now, Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? You know that you are. You know that you are. Won't you ask Him to save you? Ask Him to come into your heart, and He will save you, give you rest in your weary, troubled soul. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask Thee in Jesus' name to receive some soul into Thyself. May someone today put their faith and trust in Christ, come to know Him as Savior of sinners. May they enter into that personal relationship with the Lord through faith in Christ as Thou hast revealed and manifested Thyself in Thy Word. Hear from heaven, O Lord, and help us again today. And Father, we'll be careful to praise Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today, we will go on into the book of Genesis chapter 9, and this portion of Scripture tells us of the Lord's blessings. And I want to let you know what is in the book of Genesis chapter 9. First chapter, the first part of the chapter, looking at the whole chapter, the Lord promises a blessings to Noah and his sons. They have just left the ark. They've been aboard that large vessel for nearly a year. How do we know that? Remember now at the first verse of chapter 8 of Genesis says, "And God remembered Noah," and the Lord is going to bring the flood upon the earth. And the time of Noah going into the ark was Noah's 600th year. And after he had been on the ark for about a year, the Lord tells him, go forth from the ark. It was in the 601st year of Noah's life. So again, he was on the ark for about a year. So the ark had to have enough food for them to eat. And the ark had a hole in the top that was prepared, and I don't know how that they got their water, how the Lord doesn't tell us that. But the ark had three floors, and the Lord did give to Noah the exact specifications for how the ark was to be. He provided food for him, safety for them, and they were there. And Noah's sons and his wife and their wives, his sons' wives, were able to help in the work. In verse 13 of Genesis chapter 8, "And it came to pass in the 601st year, the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth." And so Noah is about in verse 6 of chapter 7. Noah went in and his sons' wives, verse 6 rather, "And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth." So it's about a year or so that he's on the ark. Now it's time for them to come out. And the Lord is promising to them the blessing that he is going to give to them. Come out of the ark. Come forth from the ark. And he promises blessings. He tells them to go forth and to replenish the earth, that Noah is to have dominion over the creatures. He has freedom of fear from these creatures, and he has a liberty to eat whatever he wanted to, but he was not to eat flesh with the blood in it. Now, first of all, the Lord promises care for Noah. Care for Noah. And then Noah is to care for the lives of the people, verses 1 through 6. "God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, and to your hand are they delivered." And that's why, one of the reasons is why man kills an animal that will kill a man, is because the Lord has said there is to be the fear of the animal upon the earth. The Lord also tells Noah that in verses 1 through 6 of this matter of how that a beast that sheds a man's blood, the beast is to die. A man who sheds a man's blood is to die. And the Lord tells him there, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall person's blood be shed." Again, that's what the Lord has said. That's down in verse 6. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So the one who is guilty of murder shall surely be put to death." And that is by an order from the Lord. It is from God himself who gives that order. It is not something that man has made up. And the reason why the Lord says this is to be so is because man is made in the image of God. Man is made in the image of God. Man did not evolve and eventually arrived at some kind of contrast or whatever, some kind of contraption based upon what evolution said. Man was made in the image of God. That's what the scriptures tell us even in the book of Genesis. Chapter 2 and 3, man was made in, let us make man in our image. In the image of God made he him. In the image of God made he them. Male and female made he them. So man and woman were made in the image of God. And also we find in verse 7, the Lord tells Noah in this particular portion why he says, be fruitful and multiply. Don't take away the lives of men, but increase, expand, and have more people here on the earth. And the Lord tells Noah that you're to bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in the earth. Now, remember, the earth has been swept of all people who were not on the ark. All of the people who were there outside of the ark drowned. Only Noah and his family survived in the flood. The Lord told them, he gave them the ample opportunity to repent, but they did not repent. They did not come to the Lord. They did not repent of their sins. And so they were left outside, and now Noah has the awesome responsibility, repeople the earth. Now, Noah could have said, but Lord, there are but four men, four women, and you want us to start this whole project all over again? No, I don't think that was his response. I don't think it was that at all. Noah just simply obeyed the Lord. God knew he had his own plan and his own time, and he would bring forth the number of people on the earth. And then the Lord tells Noah in verses 8 and following, he spake unto Noah and to his sons. I like that. The Lord said to Noah, he's actually carried on a conversation with Noah. He tells of him of the covenant that he's going to make with Noah and all the creatures that are here on the earth, which the Lord has made. He would drown the world no more with a great flood. And he is going to leave a rainbow as an indication that he is not going to destroy Noah's seed anymore. And so we're being blessed today, 1,000 generations later, 1,000 generations haven't passed. He said, this is a covenant that I'm making with you. Every living creature that is with you, the fowl, the cattle, every beast that is with you, from all the ark, every beast upon the earth, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of flood, neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. And the Lord leaves a token, this rainbow there in the sky. He sets a bow in the clouds. Heavenly Father, we ask for thy blessings today. We know that thou art good as thou hast left this message to Noah. And to us today, we ask again that we might recognize the Lord our God is good to us and that we will trust thee evermore. For Jesus' sake, amen. Do join us again. I'm Willie Thompson.